All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, December 20th of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have a two-game NFL Saturday slate, our first one of the season. We have a three-game college football slate already underway. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. We have a six-game NBA slate later today, seven-game NHL slate, and then we obviously have NFL main slate tomorrow on Sunday. So it should be a fun weekend of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right, with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here. I have the Saturday 2-gamer up currently here, and we will jump into questions that came in prior to the show, and then we'll just kind of see where we go from there. So first question, when you're filtering lineups from 5K to a 150 set, how many lineups are you aiming for in your pool? Good question. So in general, you want as many. So the way you got to think about this is, you know, 5,000 lineups is great, right? It's nice to have 5,000 lineups, but overall, it is still only a small snapshot of all of the, call it plus EV lineups that you can make, right? There's going to be tens of thousands of lineups that are like quote unquote viable, right? That can be good, that can win this slate. So you never want to waste lineups in your pool is like the first thing I would say. So let's say that, you know, you don't want to play lineups that have two tight ends, right? Like that is something that people might say and that I've heard. So what I would do, right, is put something to prevent that up front, right? That's like the first thing, right? Is first, try not to waste lineups in your pool. That is one thing that you want to try and avoid. Secondly, if you're doing any type of post-build filtering, right, I would try and only filter a small percentage of your lineups at that point. So like, let's say we build, you know, 500 lineups for today. Click build. This kind of goes into our second question. I might end up just grouping these two here. Does geo mean matter for today's NFL slate? So the question really is do you need to be aware of duplication on a two-game NFL slate? Right? Like that's what you got to kind of figure out. So you can figure this out. And it's always good to look at past slates to try and get an answer to this question. Right? So like what I would do is I would go and try and find a recent two-game NFL slate and look at the results of that slate to answer this question. Right? So I think we're going to pause on the first one and we're going to come back because I think we're going to end up doing some filtering here on this. So let's first confirm, you know, figure out a way to confirm that this does in fact matter. And it is something that you want to do. So the way I would do this is I'm literally going to ChatGPT. Then I'm saying, when was the last Monday there were two games for NFL on the same day? So I know they were running these like two-game NFL slates on Mondays recently. This one's probably too far away, but this one will do. The one that is giving me. So it's saying September 15th, there was a Monday two-gamer, which there was. So I could use this. So, okay, so I'm going to go back to this, right? Like, let's say I have a question. Hey, you know, I'm building for today's slate. I'm not really sure if I should be accounting for geo mean, right? How do I answer that? Okay, go and find a past two gamer and then go and see what duplication rates were, right? So I'm going to go to the flagship. I'm just going to use the flagship for this. And we'll let this load. Here we get this response. If you wait, it should load as it did here. Okay, go over to users. Still loading. All right, good. We're at users. Okay, so I'm just going to look at 150 maxers, and I'm going to look at sim ROI. All right, so we sort high sim ROI to low, and then we come over here, and then we look at the average dupes column. And duplication, you know, is, I don't know, visible here is like probably the right word. Three average dupes, 13, 11, 7, 12, 15, 14, 49, right? Like there are a lot of dupes here. So the answer to the question, in my opinion, is yes, you should consider doing something in some way, shape, or form to account for duplication on today's NFL Saturday slate, right? Now, the way that we're going to use, based on the question here, is we're going to use geomean, right? And then that works perfect. Okay, so now that we've got confirmation that this is something that we need to be mindful of, now we're going to apply this, right? Okay, so we go back to today's slate. And we'll go back to today. Okay, cool. So I've already run my pool, right? So now, right, and then we go back to this kind of filtering question too. You know, whenever you're filtering lineups out of your pool, right, my opinion is that, and this kind of goes with this next question, right? We've got a bunch of questions overlapping. So next question is building with a max salary cap viable to avoid dupes today? Yes, it absolutely is, right? So the reason that I think that when you filter, you should filter out a small percentage of your overall pool is because I don't think there is one individual variable that is the alpha and the omega, right? Is the end all be all of duplication. You know, I don't think geo is the only thing that predicts duplication, right? I think it's a factor, right? So you can come at duplication from geomean. You could come at duplication from salary. You could come at duplication from some ownership. You could come at geomean from lineup construction, right? Like there's all these different avenues that kind of lead to a lineup's likelihood of being played more or being played less, right? So you can be super specific with geomean, but I don't think you have to be, right? So is max salary cap viable? Yeah, absolutely. You know, you come in here and then you say, hey, I'm not going to play lineups maybe above 49.5, right? Like, yes, this is one way leaving salary on the table. Another way would be doing the geomean, right? Creating a custom metric for geomean where you're looking at the my own product geomean value. And then you, once you create the custom metric, then you can come in and filter for it. And then you say show lineups with your custom geomean metric. You'd say less than, so higher geomean means more likely to be duped. Lower geomean means less likely to be duped. I'm actually going to name this so I can reuse it in the future easily. Geomean less than X, right? And then we're just going to make up a number. I'm going to make up 25. Well, that ends up being super, super aggressive, right? So I got to raise this number so it's not as, doesn't remove as many lineups. And we got to go higher. Okay, so 40 is getting closer, 45. Okay, so 45 is about 10-ish percent, right? I think this is a safe number to rule out, right? Is about like 10% of the lineups. Just, hey, I just don't want to consider the highest, you know, 10% of geomean lineups. I think these are the most likely to be duplicated. And so I just kind of want to avoid those, right? So when it comes to filtering, I think filtering out a small percentage, like 10%, is like a good number to start with. Now that answers two of these. There is a question about a little different, but I want to kind of stay on this topic. So here, right, next question. On today's slate, how do I stop getting defense in the same stack with my quarterback, like it's defense going against my quarterback stack? Right. So I think this is interesting. And this is an example. I think this is an example of like lineup construction being used to avoid duplication. Most people do not want to play their quarterback against their defense. Why? Because they're negatively correlated. Well, if you do so, other people are less likely to, which means that your lineups with this construction can be less duplicated, right? So that's just kind of a side note on like our whole duplication thing, right? It's like playing lineups in a way that other people are not going to. Playing your quarterback against your defense, well, maybe not the right answer most of the time, could be viable on like a two-game slate like this. And, you know, it seems like the builder likes at least some of those lineups. Now, if you don't want this, right, you have two options. You go to the rules, you open up this groups one. We have a default rule that says don't use players against opposing defense. This is for all players. So if like I open up this lineup pool and then I change to expanded view. So in a situation like this, if I had the Bears D, I would have no players from the Packers, even position players, if this rule was on. So this is all players against the defense. Now, you specifically mentioned quarterback, right? So if you want to do just quarterback, you're going to have to do create a rule for that. So what you would do is you would go to add new rule. You would leave it on group auto. You would change use to if. And then I would say if at least one group by team quarterback, then use exactly zero. I'm going to remove my facing the question to show this whole thing. So if at least one team's quarterback, then use exactly zero on the opposing team, and then you check defense. So here, this would create a situation where based on your quarterback, you're never going to get the opposing team defense. So a rule like this would specifically be for quarterback. The other default rule that we showed would be for all players facing the defense. So those are your two options that I mentioned. All right. Good stuff so far. Good stuff. Next question. How do you navigate teams who are out of playoff contention? Honestly, I wouldn't think about it personally. You know, I don't think teams are tanking. I think that, you know, guys are still fighting for jobs. Guys are still fighting for to get paid. And I think that, you know, these athletes at the highest level are probably some of the most competitive people in the world, which is how they've gotten into this, you know, super small bucket of like 0.1%, you know, best athletes in the country. So I think that I don't think too much about teams who are out of playoff contention. And I think that, you know, winning still matters in some way, shape, or form, whether that's incentives, whether that's, you know, trying to get an upper leg on the rest of the team for next year, for starting roles and things like that, right? So the only time I would think about this is probably week 18, where like teams are legitimately sitting players. Those are usually the teams that are in playoff contention. So that's a little like ironic. But as far as, you know, teams out of playoff contention, I'm not treating them any different. I think that, you know, maybe like the Falcons last week against the Bucks is like a pretty good example where the Falcons beat the Bucks. Bucks are in playoff contention. Falcons are far removed, but, you know, guys still want to win. Guys still need to, you know, perform and fight for opportunities like Kirk Cousins. And these guys like to play spoiler, they call it, right? I watched the post game conference with Bijan and Kirk, and they were talking about, yeah, I just wanted to come in here, you know, play spoiler, execute, like all that kind of stuff. So I think that those guys want to win just as much as if they were still in the playoffs. All right. Got a question here in Discord. Going to get this one in the queue. Mike said, hey, I'm on starter package. In this package, what is the best metric to sort by? Good question. So on starter, you want to sort by portfolio. Okay, there's basically two types of diversity. There's portfolio on starter. There's portfolio plus on ultimate. The portfolio plus, it optimizes the lineups based around, hold on, this metric. Saber score. So portfolio uses Saber score. Portfolio plus uses ROI of the exact contest that you're in. Saber score is an ROI. So basically what we do is we run one simplified contest sim, just like a basic payout structure, basic number of entrants. And then the Saber score values are an ROI. So like I see a 54.45 Saber score. This is effectively 54% ROI from that sim that generated the Saber scores. So when you click on portfolio, you won't see the rank by column, just so we're clear, but it is using Saber score automatically. So you don't have to be concerned about that. But yeah, stick with portfolio. All right, next question. What other filters would you recommend to apply to lineups to maximize results for today's game? Yeah, good question. Let me bring my face back up so it's not covered. I really wouldn't recommend other ones. You know, the whole idea with like the filtering, right, is so the way I like to think about duplication is you shouldn't account for it until one, it either like hits you in the face, or two, you see that it's important, right? So what I mean by hit you in the face is like, hey, I actually won the contest, but I was duped 20 times, right? It actually impacted my actual results. The other way would be like if you can see it in flashback, right? If it's a situation that's happened before where you can go in and look to see if it matters, right? What if it's first time this season, you know, we see a two-gamer and you're not sure, right? And for whatever reason, you can't go back to last season. Or maybe you're playing on FanDuel and we don't have those results, right? So what I would do is like, okay, yeah, you know, not super important. So I wouldn't do a filter. Here, we've like proven that duplication matters. So the filter that we're using is to directly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a direct response to the duplication problem, right? That's why we're using it. Outside of that, I don't feel the need to use any additional filters because before there was no problem, so I was using no filters. We realized duplication is a problem, so we added a filter to counteract that impact, right? So in general, you don't really need any filters. If something arises, then I think it's okay to apply one, right? It's also going to depend on your post-contest results. Like, let's say, you know, you're playing on Sunday, or let's say you played last Sunday, and then you notice that your sim average score maybe is a little bit lower than some of the other users in your contest. Okay, well, the way you would get a higher sim average score, which is effectively your average projection, is by doing something like we did here with GeoMean, but doing it for projection instead, right? Hey, I'm going to filter out, you know, the lowest 10% of projected score lineups in an effort to effectively raise, in an effort to raise my average projection, right? If I get rid of some of the lowest ones here, this is kind of weird. Let's delete this. Okay, let's try that again. So let's go create a filter. Show lineups with projected score greater than, I don't know, let's say 100. I must be doing something wrong here. Yeah, something kind of strange with this. Show lineups. I just want to test something. Okay, so maybe I can use hide lineups. Hide lineups with projected score less than 100. We'll let our team know about this just so we can check it out later. But anyways, keep the show rolling. Yeah, but that's how I'm thinking about filters, right? No filters for baseline. If something arises that you need to address, add a filter to counteract that. And then let's turn this off and let's delete it for now. All right, good stuff there. Next question. Should we be late swapping regardless of how our lineups are looking going into the night game? Okay, good question. So there's two ways. There's a different answer on starter and then a different answer on ultimate. On ultimate, yes, you should swap. And the reason for that is because you're going to get to take into account the actual scores that all of the players scored in the first game. So that's really valuable information, right? We're not using projections. We're actually using how they scored and then the ability to figure out which of your lineups have win equity, which of your lineups don't, right? So that's the first part. Now on starter, what you want to be mindful of is you want to be mindful of any projection adjustments. Okay. So like, for instance, I would go into the Discord and then I would look to see if any sims have run. And if sims have run, then yes, I would want to late swap. So on starter, you're specifically taking advantage of projection updates and projection adjustments in late swap. So if you see sims run in those NFL lineup alert channels for the next game, which should happen because there should be some inactives that come out and we'll run a final sim. Our team will say, hey, you know, this is the final sim for this game. Like here's an example, right? Like we ran a sim of our final sim for the Rams and the Seahawks. Bobo was inactive. Our team lets you know, hey, you know, that was the final sim. Right. So that's what you want to be on the lookout for. If you see that, great. Sometimes we're going to run sims and there's going to be, or we're not going to run a sim, right? Hey, we projected this perfect. We got inactives, right? There were no changes. So if you see no changes, there is no need to late swap. If you do see changes, then yes, I would late swap. All right. Next question. When using all in one template, should I pick just one contest to use the sim or just leave all the contests that are checked in the contest tab? Okay, good question. So I would say that if the reason you're using this is because there is one contest you primarily care about and others that you don't, then I would only sim the one contest that you care about. If you actually care about the other contests in your set, but you still only want to play, say you're playing a 20 max, a 3 max, and a single entry, right? If all three contests matter to you, leave them all checked, run the sims for all three. If you only care, quote unquote, about the 20 max, but you're just playing the 3 max and single just to kind of play them for extra action, then I would only sim the 20 max. So kind of depends where you're at with how valuable the other contests are to you. But I think those are your two options based on if you're like the player on the left or the player on the right. So figure out, you know, what player you are in that scenario and then follow one of those two paths. All right, next question. On two-game slate, should we set stacking rules or any rules on ultimate? So in general, this is the way I think about rules. The less games on the slate, the less rules you should set. The more games on the slate, the more it is okay to set rules. So the idea here, right, is that, you know, what are rules, right? Rules are like generally heuristics. You know, they are things that are correct most of the time, right? Like, hey, you know, generally playing two running backs from the same team is probably not the best option, right? Because if one's getting a touchdown, the other one's not. If one's carrying the ball, the other one's not. So there's a little bit of like eating at each other, right? And then the other thing is that there's so many other running backs on a big main slate that kind of reinforces the need not to do that. When there are less games on the slate, the outcomes get higher variance, and so weirder things can happen. So I would be less inclined to add stacking rules on a two-game slate like today than I would be to add stacking rules on a main slate like tomorrow. So I'm on the no rule side here. That goes for like showdowns. That goes for like two gamers. And then I think it's okay to start adding some rules as the slates get bigger. All right. Follow up here to the all-in-one template question. My purpose for doing this is that the entries are about equal as well as the payout structure. So it sounds like they're kind of similar. I would probably personally leave all three of them checked and do it that way. If you still want to play the same, you know, say you're playing 320 maxes, right? And they're all kind of similar in like size and construction as far as like payout structure. I would probably leave all three of them checked. But if there's one, you're like, okay, I'm primarily optimizing for this one, and then I just want to play these and the other ones for extra action, then I would only do, like, say you're playing the $3 20 max, the $1 20 max, and the quarter jukebox, the 25-cent 20 max, right? If you only care about the $3 20 max, only leave that one checked. But if you care about all three, you know, if winning all three would matter to you, then leave all three of them checked would be my advice there. All right. Taking a look here, looks like we're all caught up with questions in YouTube and Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Good luck today in all of your contests. I will see you all on Monday for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Thanks. Bye.